All right. I'll begin with prayer. God, I just pray that you will use your words to talk to our hearts. I pray that you will let us hear what we need to hear and help us apply it and do it. I pray that you will also help the conversations that will flourish soon in the discussions. God, help us be able to get to know the other people at the table. Help us make them feel seen and heard and be able to learn from one another. God, I pray that you will be glorified today. In your name I pray. Amen. So, Proverbs 31:25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Elizabeth George posed the question, how do you think about the future? Fear, worry, anxiety? Or is it joy, peace, and eager anticipation? Proverbs 31:25 ends with the phrase, she laughs at the time to come. Other translations say she smiles at the future or rejoices in the time to come. The woman of Proverbs 31 is prepared for the future. She won't be like the five virgins who ran out of oil and were not ready for the bridegroom to appear. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 3 through 6, 10 and 13, it says, the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The five foolish women were running out of oil. And in verse 10, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in to the wedding banquet. But the foolish women missed the opportunity. And then verse 13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. The Bible identifies those who did not take any oil with them as the foolish ones. And we don't want to be fools. We want to plan ahead, anticipate future needs. It's easy to be prepared in the short term, but it takes future planning, diligence, and persistence to be ready in the long term. The bridegroom did not come until midnight, when they were tired, fell asleep, and were no longer expecting him. Many problems can be unexpected. Traffic, accidents, spills, they often catch us by surprise. In order to smile at the future, I need to have margins built into my schedule. I have to be intentional about what activities I plan in my evenings. Do I have time to visit a friend in need? If my car suddenly breaks down, do I have time to go to the mechanic? Or if I get sick, do I have time to go to the doctor? Your annual physical can be scheduled in advance. But getting a strep test done is always last minute. It's important to have a schedule that has some flexibility to accommodate the last minute emergencies and inconveniences. Being able to smile at the future requires you not to procrastinate on the hard, unpleasant tasks. Once dishes are overflowing from the sink, it becomes a bigger, more intimidating task for me. I've had to learn the benefit of doing my dishes daily. I don't like getting up in the morning, but the dishes are a lot easier for me to get done in the morning than after a long day at work. And if I do the task right away, then they're done and over with, and I don't have to think about it again. However, if I procrastinate, then I have this nagging to-do list weight added on top of everything else. I'm not sure if you've ever considered when you would want to eat a frog. It is said that if you have to eat a frog, it's best to do it first, because then the hardest task is done and over with. So what are the frogs in your life? For me, some of them are dishes. But in other words, what tasks do you have to be intentional to get done so they're not hanging over you? I've also had the experience of rewriting certain to-do list items from list to list to list. And when I finally got around to doing the task, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I often wondered, why didn't I do this task earlier? It would have saved me a headache. I'm sure we've all heard it said that you need to put the most important non-negotiables into your schedule first. What have you committed yourself to? So I teach high school Spanish full-time. Currently, I lead Bible studies on Mondays and Wednesdays. I always end the session with the question, what stood out to you? Or what is your takeaway? Personally, I need the opportunity to think about what stood out to me. I'm more likely to remember a takeaway if I vocalize it. Sometimes God's word convicts me into action. I'm also more likely to follow through if I make a commitment to action. I benefit also from hearing what stood out to other people, as it reinforces God's truth into my life and into theirs as well. For my personal devotions, I do something similar. Currently, I read a chapter of the Bible twice. On the second reading, I read it slowly, considering what each verse means. I look for what verse stands out to me. Previously, a friend and I would alternate sending verses via text to each other with a brief explanation of why that verse stood out to us. It was cool to be able to go through that text message chain and record all those verses at the end of the year. I currently have a running Google Doc, and it lists all... I currently have a running Google Doc of what God has been showing me in His Word. The nice thing about the Google Doc is that I can look for reoccurring themes: fulfilled promises, consequences of sin, and my identity in Christ. Previously, I had a few running lists in the back of my notebooks, but these lists were often abandoned once I finished that notebook and moved on to the next. Having to record my takeaways is a great accountability to ensure that I am taking enough time to find the takeaways. I've noticed that opportunities to share what God is showing you in His Word do not often come up organically. When was the last time someone asked you on Sunday, what has stood out to you in your devotions this week? Or what has God been showing you in His Word? I want to have something to say if someone asks me these questions. If I don't have an answer for these questions, it's convicting and motivating for me to dig into God's word so that I have an answer for tomorrow. And so I invite you to ask me these questions. Getting back to my schedule, I have Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Friday evenings open. I start my Saturdays with sign language interpreting in the morning, but then spend my afternoons with friends and family. Either Sunday or Saturday afternoon tends to include laundry and meal prep. I can feel overwhelmed and stressed when I don't have any evenings off. Throughout the years, I've had different workout routines. Currently, I have discovered that staying at school too long or just the mere drive home can make me lose all motivation to work out. Therefore, when the students leave, I work out either in my classroom or I convert the second floor of the school into my personal gym. Working out gives me the second wind. Then I have the mental, physical, and emotional energy to tackle the next task. Money can be a source of stress. I recommend learning the financial principles found in the Bible and taking Financial Peace University or a similar course, because credit card debt, late fees, paying interest, and a lack of emergency funds can make it harder to laugh at the time to come. Being able to smile at the future comes from the confidence of having done the work. Often my students' level of preparation will impact their attitudes towards taking a test. I remember being nervous for tests, but if I had studied, I also had confidence. The test was an opportunity for me to show what I knew. Students who are not ready dread the test or actively seek to avoid it. Oh, there is a sweet freedom in doing the right thing. Knowing you're ready for whatever the boss returns gives you peace and joy, whereas having to constantly check over your shoulder brings anxiety and fear. When I was younger, I learned the lesson that a messy room can often lead to broken belongings. It is true, as it says in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. We can easily add problems to our life with sin. Immediate gratification. My arch enemy and my nemesis. Proverbs 31:27 says, she looks well into the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Idleness, laziness, is often the way to immediate gratification. Laziness, choosing what is easy now over what is better long term. Immediate gratification tends to be short-sighted. It focuses on the here and now, often not considering the ramifications for the future. The next hour, the next day, the next year, and definitely not eternity. May we grow in the ability to choose what is best, even when it's not the easiest. Immediate gratification tends to be self-focused. It is concerned with me, myself, and I. When I'm following immediate gratification, my worship of God has taken the back seat to the worship of myself. Others are also forgotten or ignored and definitely not loved. But we are called to love God and love others. In Proverbs 31:15, it says, "She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens." The woman of Proverbs 31 is not self-focused. Being able to smile at the future is more likely to occur when one has followed the advice of James 1:19 through 20. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." When we do the opposite of this verse, when we are slow to hear, but quick to speak, and quick to anger, regret tends to follow. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Kind words take intentionality. Kind words are not always automatic. They require us to think and to respond instead of reacting in the heat of the moment. Proverbs 31:25 says that strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Well, strength sounds good. I'd like to be strong. The dictionary defines strength as the capacity of an object to withstand great force or pressure. I was struck by the definition saying that it was being able to withstand a great force. This means that there's a test. In James 1:2-4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You don't become strong without effort. If you want to build muscles, you need to exercise. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So how can we withstand a great force? How do we clothe ourselves in strength and dignity? Isn't it great that we can rely on God's strength? We don't have to have the strength in and of ourselves. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." We can praise God and draw near to him and rely on his strength. 1 Chronicles 16:8-11 models this for us. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wonderful, wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." And dignity, the dictionary says, is a state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect. Proverbs 31:11 says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." If we clothe ourselves in strength and dignity, we will be trustworthy, dependable, and consistent. So, may Proverbs 31:25 be true of us. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come.